Okay, good morning. We continue in the book of Yoshua, Perek Dalet. We quickly did the first few psukim of the fourth Perek. The Kohanim are at the edge of the Jordan River. The sea has split in a vertical direction. And as all the people finished crossing, Hashem told Yoshua to take from the people 12 people, one from each tribe, and command them and tell them to carry out from this Jordan River, from where the legs of the Kohanim were, 12 rocks, and cross them over with you, and leave them in a resting place where you will sleep over at night. And finally, Pasuk Dalet, and that's a good place to begin again, where Yeshua tells the 12 people, he calls out to each of the 12 of them, which he prepared already, and that leaves us at Pasuk Hey. So he tells them, Vayomer lahem Yeshua. Yeshua says, Ivru lifnei Aron Hashem Elokechem el tocha yardin. Pass before the ark of Hashem, your Lord, into the Jordan. V'rimu lachem ish even achas al shichmo l'mispar shifte Yisrael. And pick up for each of you, each man, one rock, put on his shoulders, according to the number of tribes that are of the Jewish people. So every Shevet will have one representative picking up a rock. Why are we doing this? L'man tiazos os bekir bechem. So this will be a sign amongst you. Tomorrow, meaning in the future, when your children will ask you, what are these stones? So it will be an oath, it will be a sign. And what will be the sign? So what will be your answer? In other words, these stones, this sounds very much like a Pesach concept. We find this in the Torah. It says, it will be tomorrow when your children will ask you, what are you doing at the Seder? Right, we're doing an unusual thing. The Seder's an unusual thing. And taking 12 stones and erecting, obviously, some kind of a monument is also unusual. And they're going to ask you, you know, it's going to be like a tourist attraction. What are these 12 stones? For Martelman, and you'll say to them, Asher nichrasu meimei hayardin mipnei aron bris Hashem, bavro bayardin nichrasu meimei hayardin. You will say to them, this was on account that the waters of the Jordan River were split before the Ark of the Covenant of Hashem as it passed in the Yordain, and the waters of the Yordain split. And these stones will be a remembrance, a monument for the Jewish people forever. That's what he told them to do. Ches. Vayasu came B'nai Yisrael, and so did the B'nai Yisrael do Kasher Tziva Yeshua, as Yeshua commanded them. Vayisu Shtei Esrei Avanim Mitoch HaYarden. So they carried 12 stones from inside the Jordan River. Kasher Diber Hashem El Yeshua L'Misra Shifte B'nai Yisrael, as Hashem said to Yeshua according to the numbers of the tribes of Israel. Vayaviru Mimam El Amalam Vayanichum Sham. And they took it to the resting place, the inn, whatever, and they left them there temporarily. Tes, ushtei mesrei avonim heikim Yeshua b'toch hayardim. And Yeshua set up another 12 stones inside the Jordan River, tachas matzav rag lehekoin, right in the place of where the Kohanim had their feet there. No Seren Bris, who are carrying the Ark of Hashem. And they were there until this day. They're there until this day. Okay, so we got a lot of activity going on over here. A lot of rock activity going on over here. So what's exactly going on over here? So if we go back to our booklet on page Chavtes, which we've had on the ready since yesterday morning at 6 o'clock. So after quoting a number of these psukim, so let's look about a third of the way down the page after he brings you Psukim Pasuk Gimel. So he says like this, it's about the 10 lines down on page Chavtes. He says, Hanashim Shaleya Mutal Tafkidze, the people who have this job, this job's been placed upon them, they were established who they were before they crossed the Jordan River. V'ata nitzavu mipi Hashem, now they've been commanded from Hashem. And these were not small little rocks. Avanim gedolos elo adayin hoya bimkomam begilgal asara shanim achrei churban bayasheni. Historically, these large boulders were still in their place in Gilgal. These boulders eventually make it to Gilgal, which is a pretty central place in Israel in biblical times. And dozens of years after the second Beis HaMikdash, these rocks were still there. So it was a monument for many, many years. V'chachmei Yisrael shaklusam, and the rabbis weighed them. V'shi'uram, and their measurement, their weight is kolachas v'achas shkula ke'arboim saw. Each one is weighed 40 saw. Kishir mikvah, like the amount that a mikvah has to be. So they're quite large boulders, right? So they were big, big monuments. They stood for a long, long time. So,
what did they weigh again?
40 saw. That's the measurement of a mikvah. A mikvah is 40 saw. It's got to be enough for a body to fit in and toivel in a mikvah. So, you know, the mikvahs we have now are bigger than 40 saw, but that's per person to carry a boulder. That's big. I mean, it's a big boulder. It's, at least, if you look at that, the bima here, at least I'd say what the solid wood part of the bima is, at least, if not, twice that amount. Okay, and that's a rock. Okay, that's a heavy boulder. That's a heavy boulder that they had to carry. So it seems, that, what are all these rocks exactly? So it seems we've got a dozen rocks that they pulled out of the Jordan River, and we will see shortly that these are going to be taken somewhere, and they eventually make their permanent place in Gilgal. Now, if you skip about another 8 or 9 lines and go to the small print that's indented, it brings you a very important chazal from the Gemara in Sota. Nimtzas ata oimer. It comes out, the Gemara says, Shlosha mini avarim hayu. There are 3 sets of boulders. 3 sets of monuments. Aleph. Echad sheheki Moshe be'ever yardim be'eretz Moav. There's 1 set of boulders that Moshe set up on the east bank in the land of Moav. If you recall, in Sefer Dvarim, we are told that Moshe did all this when he made the covenant with the Jewish people in Arvas Moav, in the plains of Moav. At the time of making that covenant, he set up 12 boulders, and on those boulders he wrote the entire Torah, etched the entire Torah in the boulders, and then covered it up with plaster. So that's one set. Beis, ve'echad she'ekim Yeshua betoch ha'yarden. Another one are the ones that Yeshua set up in the Jordan River, as it says, as we've read, there's 12 rocks that he set up inside the Jordan River. And one that they established in Gilgal. As it says as well, it talks about the 12 rocks that they took out of the Jordan River later on. We're going to learn in the Sefer. It says Yeshua established it and set it up in Gilgal. So we've got 3 sets of stones over here. Okay? So let's understand what this is all about. So on a simple level, we'll learn it deeper perhaps tomorrow, but again, just to get us through the text right now. So all the Mefarshim of the Sforim say the idea of writing, you have these boulders, you're writing the Torah on stone. And there's different opinions, you know, that was even written in 70 languages on these stones. Okay, there's a lot of writing going on over here.
On all 3 sets.
So many say that the concept of this is similar to what it says in the Torah when it says that you have to make a mezuzah in all your homes, in all your gates. And therefore, we know, just like when you walk into your house, you have to have written the words of the Shema, which enforce the concept of accepting the yoke of heaven upon ourselves and the yoke of mitzvahs. And that has to be prominent in your home. Wherever you go, you see a mezuzah, and you keep the focus as to what the mission statement of the Jewish people is all about. So similarly, as the Jewish people are entering the land of Eretz Yisrael, you need this as well. And these rocks form a type of pseudo mezuzah to the land. The land needs to have mezuzahs. And just like you know, you have to have mezuzah not only on the front door, but in every room in your home that where you're living or you're making use of, you put a mezuzah. So similarly, we have to do in a similar fashion, putting mezuzahs throughout Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, we have a mezuzah on the east bank. We have to have a mezuzah on the east bank because that's where the 2.5 tribes are living. And we need to have it so those on that side of the Jordan River and people who enter and go to that side of the Jordan River, they have these rocks. And obviously these rocks now have the entire Torah written in them. And we'll see more what else is there. And that forms its mezuzah, as it were. So that's one point. And as well, really, this was all these sets of rocks, at least one of them for sure, was already mentioned in the end of Sefer Dvarim, what Yeshua is going to put up as well. Because it says in Sefer Dvarim, it says, on the day you will cross the Jordan River, you will set up large stones. Right? And Rashi over there learns those are the ones that will be set up right in the Jordan River. Right? Right as you cross, you have to set them up. Now, the ones that Moshe put up himself, they're mentioned in a couple of psukim later in Sefer Dvarim. And as well, it also mentions that when you're going to cross, you're going to set up some rocks in Har Eval. We know what's coming up. It says it in Sefer Dvarim, that when the Jews cross the Jordan River, they will go to the two mountains, Har Gerizim and Har Eval. And that is where the 12 tribes will all be standing on the mountains, 6 on one mountainside, 6 on the other. And then the Kohanim will pronounce blessings and curses to those who uphold or will not uphold the Torah. And this was all going on this very same day, as we will see. And then there were 12 rocks over there as used as a mizbech, and then they'd be moved to Gilgal to be used on a permanent basis. So clearly, this has all been mentioned in Sefer Dvarim. This is all that's coming up. You know, Sefer Dvarim suffers badly that it's read in the summer and people are on vacation and don't learn it. But it's there. It's a very important part of God's Torah. So it's interesting, the symbolisms over it. It makes sense to have these rocks in a place where the curses and the blessings are mentioned. It will remind them of that event as well. But it's curious that we've got these stones. I mean, they're mamish in the Jordan River. Can you imagine that they were in the Jordan River, and probably 12 stones go higher than the Jordan River. Can you imagine, you know, you see the Jordan River, and in the river, you see these massive boulders piled up, jutting outside of the river. I remember, put it right at the edge, right at the edge of the river. That's where the Kohanim put their feet, right on the edge. It means they didn't go so deep into the water. So right at the edge of the river now, go take 12 stones and put them up over here. So what's the symbolism over there that, you know, to show the Jews that even if we will be in difficult times where the Jewish people will feel like they are these stones amidst a rushing river that's trying to push them and sweep them away. In other words, a lot of times we feel we're under so much pressure, you know, as the Piazzetta Rebbe mentioned, the whole idea of public opinion is like gushing waters, rushing waters that are trying to sweep you away and get caught away with the current of public opinion. And the current of public opinion is always anti-Jewish and anti-Torah and anti-God. And a lot of times you feel like the current's just pushing at you. So you gotta realize that, you know, the words of the Torah have to be etched in your heart just like they're etched in these stones. and you have to keep them and uphold by the words of the Torah. Life is not always going to be tranquil waters. It'll be rushing waters trying to sweep you away. And therefore, this will be the reminder for us that God did miracles for us and wants us to keep the Torah. So this is telling us a little bit about the three stones. So now, let us continue inside the text now. Moving along in Pasuk Yud. We're moving quickly along. We should finish the parak today. At least reading it inside. So that's the 12 stones. We've got two sets of 12 stones besides the one that Moshe put up. So now what happens? Pasuk Yud. Va'koanim nose ha'aron omdim besoch ha'yardein atom koladover shertziva shemes Yeshua ledaber el ha'am. So the Kohanim who are carrying the ark, they're standing inside the Jordan until everything that God commanded Yeshua to tell the Jews, until all that got done. It took a bit of time, I would imagine, to take first set of 12 rocks, and Yeshua to get a second set of 12 rocks. Kechol asher tziva Moshe Yeshua, and that was all that Moshe commanded Yeshua. It's the same thing. Vayimahru ha'am vayavor, and the people quickly moved ahead and they passed by. So you got all the Jews are on the other side of the Jordan River. Okay. Pasuk Yud-Aleph. Vayhi kasher tam kol ha'am lavor. And it was when the people all finished crossing. Vayavor Aron Hashem v'Kohanim lifnei ha'am. And the ark passed, and with the Kohanim passed before the people. Okay, we got to understand what that's going to mean. And as that happens, Pasuk Yud-Beis, Vayavru b'nei Ruvene b'nei Gad v'chatzi shevet ha'menashe chamushim lifnei b'nei Yisrael, and the tribes of Ruven, the tribes of God, and half of Menashe, they passed by armed before the Jewish people. We're now getting ourselves into our marching formation. Kasher dibar alei Moshe, as Moshe told him to do, and as Yeshua reinforced that idea. Pasuk Yud Gimel, karboim elav chalutz etzavet, about 40,000 soldiers. Avru lifnei Hashem lamuchama el arvas Yericho. They passed before Hashem into war formation onto the plains of Jericho. Yudalot. Vayomahu gidal Hashem is Yeshua b'enei kol Yisrael. On this day, Hashem made Yeshua big in the eyes of the entire Jewish people. Vayiru oso kasher yoru es Moshe kol yimei chayov. And they feared him like they feared Moshe all the days of his life. This was a big confidence booster, big vote of approval by Hashem. And look, see, we're doing miracles to Yeshua, you know, similar to miracles of Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, now this is kind of an overview statement, because now we're going to come back and go over the details now. Tesvav. Yomer Hashem Yeshua Leimor. Hashem said to Yeshua, Tzavei es ha-Kohanim nosei Aron ha-Edus, command the Kohanim who are carrying the Ark of Testimony, and have them go out of the Jordan River. Now, already says that in Pasuk Yud Aleph. So, in other words, Yud Aleph is giving us a general statement of what happened, and now we're going back into the details, which is not unusual for the Navi to talk in such a way. So, Yud Zayin, Vatzav, Yeshua, Sekhanim, Lemor. Yeshua commanded Sekhanim, saying, let's get out of the Jordan. Go out of the Jordan. Yud Ches. Vayi, Balo, Sekhanim, Nosei, Aron, Bris Hashem, Mitoch, Ayardim. It was when the Kohanim, who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant of Hashem, when they came out of the Jordan, nitku kapos ragle kohanim elech arava, the feet of the Kohanim, it went out onto the dry land. They took their feet out. By Yeshua me ayarden limkomam, the waters of Jordan came back to its place. And they went back to the way they were yesterday, the day before, all the way to the top of the banks of the river. Now, obviously, this is another incredible miracle. The other incredible miracle is that it wasn't like the water. Now, remember, the water it was described was approximately, it was 12 mil high by 12 mil wide, right? 12 kilometers high by 12 kilometers wide. It's an amazingly large amount of water. And it's not like the water then fell. The water would just fall. If the laws of gravity, which were turned on its head, were all of a sudden put back into normal place, what happens to 12 kilometers of water when it comes crashing down? I mean, you have Niagara Falls in your mind, which is like nothing. How many meters is that? Okay? Talking 12 kilometers of water. I mean, you're talking of billions of gallons of water are coming down. So it came down exactly the way it was before. In other words, just as it went up very neatly and tidily, and pardon the pun, and now they came down in a nice, slow way. It probably took just as long for it to go up, which probably took a long time. It took a long time for it to go down slowly, 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 so we don't have massive tidal waves that are just burying all the people in its place. So that's another miracle that has to have happened. Okay? Unbelievable. Unbelievable stuff. So this all happens over here. So let's now go back into the booklet again. And there's a lot of interesting things that are happening that are not so overtly mentioned in the text. Not so overtly mentioned in the text. So there's all kinds of descriptions that the rabbis give over here, and a lot of the order isn't so clear over here. And again, we're not looking for accurate, you know, data to the point of what exactly happened to the detail, because remember, the Navi only tells you what you need to find out. And but this is all going on while the Jews are in the midst of the Jordan River. Yeshua's talking to them and telling them what to do. So let's look on a page Lamed now, turning to page Lamed. And I'm trying to just do the most important points, not to waste time reading everything. So in the middle of Lamed, you see again the indented part where we're continuing bringing you from the Gemara in Sota. It gives a little bit more detail as to what exactly happened. So it says, V'kivin sha'ola ha'achron sh'bi Yisrael min ha'yardin. Once the last Jew crossed the Jordan on the west side, and we're on page Lamed right in the middle, Chazru ma'im limkomon, the water went back to its place, that we said, Shenemar, as it says, and he brings you down the pasuk. We can skip the next two lines. Nimtza comes out. Aaron v'nosa v'kohanim mitzad echod. It comes out that the ark and the ones who are carrying it, the kohanim, are on one side. Mitzad mizrach, on the east bank. V'yisrael mitzad echod, and the Jewish people are on the other side, on the west bank. Because if you look carefully in the pasuk, especially in pasuk Yudches, it says it was when the Kohanim lifted their feet out and onto dry land. Now, what does that mean? Lifted your feet. Didn't say they crossed it. It just says they put their feet onto dry land, and the water went back to the way it was. So, you know, lifting your foot means just take one step back. So, wow. So it comes out. The waters came back. The Kohanim are on one side. The Jews on the other side. Interesting. So let's continue. So then what happened? So now comes another miracle. Nosa Aaron es nosav. So then the ark carried the ones that were carrying it. V'avar, and then they crossed. In other words, the ark lifted a couple feet off the ground. The Kohanim were holding it by the poles. They went up with the ark, and the ark, you know, teleported itself across the hovercraft, teleported itself over the Jordan River onto the west side, sat itself down, and the Kohanim were on the west side. How do we know this? Because that's the pasuk that seems to be totally misplaced. Shenemar, as it says back in pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayhi kasher tam kol ha'am la'avor. It was when the Jewish people finished crossing, it says, Vayavor Aron Hashem v'akohanim lifneam, that the Ark of the Kohanim passed before the people. So, what's going on? It crossed before the people, but later on it says when the Kohanim took their feet out, the water came back. So how do we resolve these two concepts? The idea being that, yes, there were two things that happened. They took their feet out and the water rushed back. And then, with that happening, the Ark and the Kohanim still crossed the Jordan River in a way that was miraculous. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Can you imagine what they all saw in this one day? Right? Yes, sir.
So unbelievable miracle, but when we saw other miracles, it was clearly stated. So why?
All right, we'll talk about that. Why was it not clearly stated? We'll talk about that tomorrow. We'll talk about that tomorrow. There's many times miracles aren't so clearly stated, but here's another example. It wasn't clearly stated that the Jews were in between the two poles of the ark.
Is there already the second
miracle that was not clearly stated? Right? The fact that a person can carry such a heavy boulder is another miracle that's not clearly stated. There's a lot of things going on over here. Okay, we'll talk about that tomorrow. That's on the agenda for tomorrow, because I don't think we're going to get there by today. But that's also another issue. So let's continue now in the booklet and see what he has to add over here. And wasn't it possible for the ones carrying the ark to just walk forward in the Jordan River like everybody else and get on the west side before the waters came back? After all the Jews passed, let them have crossed too, like everybody else is crossing. Remember, it wasn't, miles and miles to cross. Why did the waters have to come back to their place? Before the Kohanim finished crossing. And it's more than that. Why did Hashem tell them to get off on the east side? And as opposed to passing by its riverbed. And simply put, what was the purpose of the miracle that the ark is carrying those who carried it? So on a simple level now, but the Jews would learn a fundamental lesson, the Jews in general and the Kohanim specifically, meaning to say, don't look at the ark as a physical item, eitz v'zav, like something made out of wood or gold, which has tablets of stone, which people carry with their own physical shoulders. Don't make a mistake and think it's just a physical thing. Ella, but what are they trying to learn? The ark is the means for bringing the divine presence into the land of Israel. It is a spiritual beacon for the Jewish people. And he quotes the Ramban now that says, "V'nei ikar hachafetz hu b'mishkan." The main thing Hashem wanted is in this world is the Mishkan, makom menuchas hashchin, a place for the divine presence to rest amongst this physical world. Going on to page Lamed Aleph, Shuaron, which is basically manifest within the Ark. Okay, the Ark is the primary part of the Mishkan. V'soda Mishkan, who, and what's the whole secret of the Mishkan, the mystical understanding of the Mishkan, shehakoved asher shachan al har Sinai. See, that very glory of Hashem that descended upon our, and rested on Mount Sinai when God gave us the Torah, shachan al benister, would be able to dwell amongst the Jewish people in a hidden place. V'hayah b'mishkan tamid am im Yisrael hakoved shenir lahem bar Sinai. The Mishkan will constantly be with the Jewish people, that same glory of God that appeared to them at Mount Sinai. In other words, as Ramban is saying, that Mount Sinai, Hashem himself, and his glory and honor and radiant splendor came down to Mount Sinai when he gave us the Torah, and Hashem wanted a constant state of Sinai with the Jewish people in this world. And that emanates from the Mishkan. The Mishkan is a microcosm of Mount Sinai. And that's why, you can't ascend the mountain. Not everybody can go on the mountain. Everybody can go to the Mishkan. There's holier parts of the Mishkan. And the focal point of the holiness are those two tablets. It's God investing tremendous spirituality within the ark. Right? And that is the source of all the holiness that's in this world that Hashem wants as he brings his presence into this world in the Mishkan. Okay, so obviously, now the author is writing, Vim ha'aron makom hashras hashchina. If the ark is the place where God's divine presence rests, so hanitzachas mamar har Sinai le'ena kol Yisrael, it is a permanent reminder, so to speak, of that moment where God appeared to them at Mount Sinai before the eyes of the Jewish people, it obviously is not just a physical thing. It's well beyond the physical thing. And that's the message he wants them to understand about the holiness of this ark as it now comes into the land of Eretz Yisrael. And he says, therefore, Hashchina ena nisus, you don't carry the Kedusha. You don't carry the divine presence. Nobody has to carry it. It's God's presence alone carries itself very, very well. Elohi hamin nases es adam, but rather it carries the people. Hi hamin romemes oso elel tafkido aliyadnos. The ark elevates, the Shekhinah elevates the human being to his purpose while on this earth. Lenaskol haloso min hameshicha haartzis. Beautiful, beautiful analogy. Poetry here. Imagery. To uproot and to elevate a person from the physical gravitational pull of the mundaneness of the world. Ha'ara noseis nosof. The ark carries those who carry it. As we've mentioned in the past, the whole concept of gravity in this world, the reason why there is gravity in this world, the metaphysical root to the physics equation of gravity that pulls man down at a particular rate. The whole point of gravity is just a physical manifestation of the spiritual realities that exist. That the physical, mundane, gross, material world is one that pulls a human being down. A human being is meant to stand tall, build himself up, grow, be a person who reacts against gravity. Everything in this world is pulled down. Everything, whatever comes up, must go down. Everything comes to the earth. Everything is physical, finite, limited, low. Everything. And the human being must deal with that as well. And besides the bird, for reasons I'm not going to get into right now, but the bird is analogous of the Jewish people. And itself is the analogy of the Jewish people. But everything has to live by the laws of nature. And especially the laws of gravity. Everything gets pulled down. The only one who really can go against the law of gravity is the human being. You can jump. You can do all kinds of things, that you can defy gravity. Every animal basically, you know, goes on all fours and the gravity pulls it down. They want to sit and sleep and this and that. All gravity's pushing on. A human being has to go against gravity. That's the whole point. That's why the world was created with the letter Hey. The letter Hey is symbolic of this world that's open at the bottom. If you don't do anything to push hard, you're going to fall right through the bottom of the Hey and go into the abyss. And you got to fight to stay on your feet. You got to go against gravity. There's a spiritually negative gravitational pull. It's always easier to not get up in the morning. Gravity works really well at 5:30. Boy, does it work well. Gravity works well somehow just as amazingly at 8:30 on a Saturday morning, as well as it works 5:30 during a weekday for some strange reason. Right? It works really well late at night when you're supposed to stay up and learn Torah. It works really well because it pulls you down and you have to go against gravity. How do we go against gravity? How is it possible to go against gravity? The answer is you hold on to the ark. You hold on to the ark. The ark is symbolic of Torah. Torah defies gravity. Torah is God's reality in this world. The only thing that defies gravity is the one that created gravity, and that's God. And everything he wants us to do in this world is in the Torah. And therefore, again, the simple example, God says, look, how the Kohanim can defy gravity. You've been living for 40 years in the desert. You figure, yeah, that was a different reality. But what about we come to this land, you know, we're going to get pulled down by farming and all this stuff, and we're going to turn into a bunch of farmers, a bunch of people who are not much holier than a cow. The answer is you just hold on to the ark. It's going to carry you across. And that was the message Hashem wanted to give them. As long as you hold on to that Torah, you will go defy gravity and you will constantly grow and grow and grow. Okay. A very, very beautiful concept over here. Now, symbolically, the fact that, you know, we figure it's a hard thing to carry this Torah. You know, it's, you know, learning Torah, living a life of Torah, If anything, you figure it's hard enough to live in this world. The gravitational pull of this world is already hard enough. And now you put another weight on me that I got to sit and learn Torah. It's another burden that's placed upon my shoulders. Right? That's what it says by Yisachar. You know, he saw that Menucha was good and he girded his shoulders and carried the load. So, in other words, learning Torah is a load. It's hard enough for a goy to get up at 7 o'clock in the morning. So now I have to get up at 5:30 so I can carry the load of Torah. A goy has a big enough load. He has to make a parnasa, it's a milchama, and to make some money. He's mamish, you're at war the whole day to survive. So guess what every Jew has? I got an extra load. Got an extra load that I got to carry the Torah. I got to get up an hour and a half, 2 hours earlier so I can learn Torah and daven. And then I got to take on the load of the day. I'm going to get buried under the load. So Hashem says, you're not going to get buried under the load. The load's going to carry you. If you take that load, you'll have the strength, more strength than you'd have without carrying that load. So that's the beautiful symbolism that they want to know as they're entering the Holy Land. Okay, let's continue inside the booklet here. Again, we're on page Laman Aleph, the third paragraph. V'ha'im ein zu ha'ashloma ha'mas kemes l'maman ha'gorol shel neis krisus ha'yarden. And isn't this a good completion that kind of finalizes this great event that happened today of the splitting of the Jordan River? Al pischa shel Eretz Yisrael, on the entrance way of Eretz Yisrael, Shehi l'chura Eretz Gashmis, which appears to be a very physical, mundane place, just like any other place in the world. U'bayosel b'kibush u'bisnachlus heim bayos artzios, and the bayas, the problems, the issues, the challenges of conquering the land and dividing the land, they all appear to be physical issues. So where we are now going to be so physically involved in this world, dafka sham, Hera Kadosh Baruch Hu, specifically there Hashem shows, Vayavor Aron Hashem V'kanuf Hashem, that the Ark and the Kohanim flew before Ha'am, before the people. V'chi Lifnei Ha'am Avru, Hare Rak Achre Shetam Kolam Lavor Avru Gamheim. And did they go before the people? No, only after the people crossed did they also cross. Right? They also crossed after them. And we'll see why it was after, not before. But they crossed miraculously. As it says, Aron no seas no sub, the ark carried the people, and it is who? Le'enei ha'am. It was before the eyes of the people. Everyone should see what happening. In other words, they're on the other side, and they're looking back. They see that the yard ain't closed. They come on the other side. It drew people's attention. It wasn't like, oh, you know, it happened and, you know, oh, what happened? How'd they get to say, oh, I don't know. Somebody said they flew, you know, I don't know. No, that the waters, they knew that it split because of them. And they saw the waters coming back and they're all looking at that. I'm sure every Jew's going, wow. And look and say, where'd it go? Hey, they're on the other side. And everybody's on one side, is it? So in front of everybody's eyes, in front of every, it can't be mistaken over here. They come across the other side. So what do the Jews know? Yedu kol Yisrael, all Jews know, Shashchina hi hamalechas ifnei, that it's mamish, God's divine presence that's going before them. Gami meina nana yakovet, even though we don't have clouds of glory anymore, hi hakoveshes v'yamanchilas arts. What's going to conquer the land? What's going to divide the land? It's this ark. This ark will come before us, and it'll be God's Shechina that'll be conquering the land over us, over here. Amazing, amazing. Okay, let's continue a little bit more, in the booklet, and this is all, we then said that as this is going on, the Jews getting into their battle formations, into their military formation, with the tribes of Reuven, Gad, and half of Manasseh going in the front, and they're all going, as it says, the Pasuk clearly says in Pasuk Yud Gimel, they're all, Pasuk Yud Beis and Yud Gimel, that it's all Lifnei Hashem. It's all before Hashem. Because really this is a war for Hashem. So now let's look at the bottom of Lamed Aleph, the bottom paragraph. But there's much, much more. Achadayin lo nistayim hayom ha'gadolzeh, but this great day isn't even finished. Still not finished. Od mitzvah gedayla v'chashuvah medesavlen. There's another big mitzvah, and an important mitzvah that is before them. And now he's giving you quotes from Sefer Dvarim Perichav Zayin. where Moshe is telling the Jews what they should do on the day that they crossed, the day they entered the land. So he's giving little phrases. It should be on the day that you cross the Jordan River, Moshe tells the Jews. You should establish for yourself large boulders and smear them with plaster. You should write all the words of the Torah when you cross. When you cross the Jordan River, you should set up these stones. Behar Eval, on Mount Eval, which is well into the heartland of Israel. It's not a border town like Jericho. I don't know if we have the map still with us, but I don't know if it's going to be on the map, but I don't have it. You may have it. Is it here? Yeah. I mean, it's not put over here, but it's well. They don't mark over here where Har Gerizim and Har Eifel is, but it's well into the center area. Somewhere between Yerushalayim and Shechem, I believe. It's somewhere well into the middle. It's not marked here, but well into the middle. It's not at the edge. You're going kilometers and kilometers. Many, many kilometers. Today, on this day, they have to get to Har Gerizim and Har Eval with those 12 boulders. With those 3 million Jews. Let's look back in the booklet. Ubanis Hashem Mizbech, and you'll build an altar. You'll bring offerings to God. You'll bring peace offerings. You'll eat there. You rejoice before Hashem, your God. You'll write on these stones the entire Torah with a complete explanation, meaning in 70 languages. So it comes out. Still on this day, it's a big day. There's more mitzvahs to do. However, in the book of Yeshua that we're going to learn, they're only going to write this in chapter 8, after the conquest of Jericho and the city of Ai. But the rabbis of the Talmud give us a true explanation. They kept these mitzvahs on the very day that they crossed the Jordan River. Let's turn the page as it now gets described in Masechet Sot. It says, let's take a look and see how many miracles happened on this day. The Jewish people crossed the Jordan River. They came to Har Gerizim Evel. It's more than 60 kilometers. A 60 kilometer trip they still had to take this day. And nobody could stand up against them. It wasn't like the Canaanites started to attack them. You'd figure, they're all watching them. Look what they're doing. They're going right into the land. Nobody lifts up a finger against them. And then they bring all the stones. They build the altar. And they smear it with plaster. They wrote the altar in 70 languages. Doesn't that take a little bit of time? Even with a lot of soifrim at the job. They brought all kinds of offerings. They ate, they drank, and rejoiced. Then they had to do the whole act of the curses and the blessings. They all had to position themselves on the mountains. They keep us of money, they had to unpeel the stones. And then they had to go and take it back to Gilgal, which is another trip back. They go back to Gilgal, back another 60 kilometers. Right? And even there is a certain opinion that says maybe the brachas and the curses later, but still they had to go back to Gil. It's a whole big thing. So let's just finish up over the last three lines. So Yom Mole Chavios Kedushos V'Niskovos V'Godush Iroim Machriim Avar Al B'nei Yisrael Bas Yom. It's a day full of expressions of holiness and loftiness, brimming with incidences that are happening as the Jewish people are crossing the Jordan, that happened to the Jews on this day. Also, Asara B'Nisan, this day, the 10th of Nisan, Lo Yomush Od Mitochshon, will never leave their memories. It was an unbelievable day, the 10th of Nisan. I'll call on Nisan Shasam, all the miracles that happened on this day. And the obligations that they accepted upon themselves, remember, of being, what do you call it, responsible one for another. They also know the greatness of Yeshua that Hashem made him big on this day. And it's no coincidence why this day of all the days was picked as the day for all these unbelievable miracles to happen. So Rav Levi says that when were the Jews Moser Nefesh to get the Korban Pesach before they left Egypt? What was the historical date on the calendar? Shabbos HaGadol came out on the 10th of Nisan. So we see that when the Jewish people took the lamb of the Egyptians on the 10th of Nisan, which was mamish, an act of Mesiris Nefesh of self-sacrifice, because that's what the Egyptians worshipped. And you see, they want to shech them. They were willing to give up their lives. So anyone who does mitzvahs to do Mesiris Nefesh, that's a big thing. And therefore the reward, in other words, the Jews went against their nature, so the reward will be that later in history, not that much later, the Jewish people will be rewarded that on that 10th day of Nisan, God will go against nature as well. And that's the general rule of thumb. When you go against your nature to be willing to give up your life, so therefore you go beyond nature, so Hashem goes beyond nature. And that's why he took you out of Mitzrayim to be able to come to the land. So on that very same 10th of Nisan, all these miracles happen in the same way. Mirza Hashem, tomorrow we'll finish up the parak and give an overview and hopefully conclude the lessons of this crossing of the Jordan River.